Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
Never filtered, always fun.
I just wanted to get a Michael Phelps cap and do one lap of the lobby with goggles. Nothing to see here. Oh, hey, Myrna.
Just checking things out.
Got to stretch out the quads and hammies.
See, that's...
I'll be in the tub in 10.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
We were just talking in the break. You went into a place at 11 a.m. and people were destroyed. How do you get destroyed? Like...
St. Patrick's Day, man. People wake up.
Love yeah, but what a cocktail. How do you get gooned by 11?
I don't know. Like, it's one thing if you're having a
Caesar
or something.
You're basically waking up and saying to your buddies at 8 in the morning, do you want to get into it? And,
yeah.
Like, fire it up now?
It's like whiskey for breakfast.
The only thing that I've experienced
gooned
is having a late night in Vegas where you drink all night till like 5 o'clock in the morning. You sleep for 5 hours.
Yeah,
and
you get up, you have a cold
drinks,
beer. It's the shampoo
effect. You're back
effect,
at it.
And
yeah, you're right back at it. Like, our buddy Strutty, security had to carry him out of the pool one time at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon because he fell through a lawn. He fell through a chair, and it was like wrapped around him like a scarf. He couldn't walk.
Yeah, we
security
had...
Security came over and said, you got to get this guy out.
We had a guy. We got a guy.
We got a guy.
On our tour of duty in Pittsburgh this weekend.
Who was just ruined the whole weekend?
No, it was... Well...
The Dave...
No, it wasn't. It was another guy who he needed help getting out of the cab.
So just Lomax.
Yeah, totally Lomax routine. And my understanding is I may not have gotten this information correct, but the cabbie starts like negotiating a tip on top so that he would get out and help.
Oh,
kind of
really?
Like, I'll help, but it's going
to cost
you another like $5 or $10.
Guy out, yeah.
Which seems reasonable. I don't
Dude,
even blame
I gotta
the
figure
cabbie.
That out. Are you supposed to give Uber drivers, like, cash tip?
No, the tip is, with Uber, it's already built in. And you should know this, for your profile, if you have a good tip, like I always try to go 20 or 25%, you build that in, Uber drivers will pick you. Like, you get rated as they get rated, too. So if you have a good rating...
Well,
so
I was told that you got to start giving them cash.
No.
Now I'm giving them cash on top of another tip.
Well, you can tip on top of
You're
the percentage
to.
You put in as well.
But you should always have... a good tip built in. That way, you're going to get picked up.
Well, but it's so greasy when they don't. Like, I got stiffed a couple of times this weekend.
Yeah.
And I eventually called this one guy. I'm like, hey, where are you, man?
I like when you get stiffed and they still charge you like a fee.
That's what happened.
It's like, you're
I got charged. I got charged like $35 because everyone kept canceling. I was sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're downtown. Like, I don't know where I'm. I'm in Pittsburgh. I don't even know where the hell I am. The hotel was like 2 blocks away. We could have just walked there, but we didn't know where we were.
You and your buddies, by the way, should be ashamed of yourselves if you pick Pitt.
Well, we went down there for the basketball.
I don't care. If that's a bachelor party, no.
Nashville could have been.
We've done Nashville, though, before. Like, we've done a bunch of different spots. Pitt was quick. It was easy. It's a relatively underrated town. It's gritty, though. Like I said, like, smoking in the bars in Pittsburgh.
Were you down by the docks there? Like, I've
been
down
by the
docks.
Well, there's the south side or whatever, down on Carson Street.
I know a guy that was at a bachelor party in Nashville, and he was so gooned. He welcomed one of the guys into the bachelor party, and the guy said, I saw you last night.
I've heard of that story. Wow, when'd you get down here, dude? We were literally together last night.
We were with you last night.
That is one of my faves.
Yeah, that's it.
Welcome to the party, bro. We were together all of last night.
For a long time last night, you were buying me beers with your arm around me at
just
the bar.
Wrecked.
Like, really? I swear I don't have any recollection of that. Or that gentleman didn't have any recollection of that. It's like Phil from Wayne's World. Remember that booze bag Phil? And he's always like, you should have seen this band Crucial Taut. And they're like, Phil, we were there.
Phil, we were there.
Have
you gone mental? Hello.
Play that again. I laughed over it.
Phil, we were there. Have you gone mental? Hello.
I don't know if that's politically correct anymore.
No, but not here.
That's Wayne's World back in the day.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're all in here today. We're feeling okay. We're getting back into the rhythm of things. And
you're
we're
not okay.
Off.
You're always miserable. Like, you've got an edge to you.
You do have an edge to you.
I'm not happy at all. I'm not going to pretend like I am. I'm miserable.
You're
right
trying
now.
To act like you're so into it. Yeah, I can tell you just want to rip somebody's face off. I can't tell if it's me, like him, or one of those
guys. If the Leafs lost 6-0 on Saturday, you would have come in here with a growl. They won 4-0. They've won 12 in a row, and you're still having a tough time, like, smiling.
Your first day back from any kind of trip away from Toronto, you are a bear.
I am. I admit it. I'm not going to hide that. I can't hide it. We're on national TV.
And you've got Tomato Head beside you here.
Look
who's
at
got
your face, dude.
It's bad.
Are we on TV?
Yeah, we're on TV. We're on TSN2 right now.
The camera's going to zoom in on that.
Give me a zoom of the... Oh, dog, I was going to call you big guy.
No big guy.
I won't do it ever again. I stopped myself.
We stopped.
Give me a zoom of the old dog right in the grill.
Look at the side of my forehead right now. It's already peeling off.
That's not good.
And
man.
My nose is like it's burnt.
So no hat at all? Like the whole weekend?
No. I went Nick Faldo. I just no hat. Burn my face. I like to get a golden brown.
And you hit it well, though? Like what were you?
Played well in South Georgia?
Good. Pretty good.
Is it like close to Augusta where you were? Or?
No. 5 hours away.
No, so it's not even in the same vicinity. I was
right on the water. It's called St. Simon's Island, right on the water in Georgia.
But it wasn't an
hour north of Jacksonville. Perfect.
Not a goat track. Like, it's a good course?
Dude, there's 50 tour players that are members of this course.
Wow. Well, I was going to ask you, like, is there a buzz about Tiger and Augusta?
All the buzz.
2 weeks out.
All the buzz. Yeah. I played with a prominent PGA Tour agent for 3 days, and he walked alongside Tiger in a practice round, and he said, there's been a bunch of times where he's come back, and it's like Tiger's back, but it was kind of fake news.
This is not fake news.
No, this is not fake news, and the buzz is off the charts.
Mm-hmm. As it should be. I mean, he's in contention 2 weeks in a row. He's playing well.
15 deep practice round, 30 deep real round.
Real stuff. Wait till we get to the Masters. Raptors off today, traveling today in Orlando tomorrow, and the hardest working guy in show business, maybe outside of Noodles, who does work literally every single day, is our main man, Jack Armstrong, work for March Madness. Now he's down in Orlando. He's going to be calling the game tomorrow night, and he joins us now. What's happening, Jack?
Ryan, Noodles, Old Dog, how you guys doing?
We're all good.
We're doing real well, man. We got into it this weekend. We had a great time, and we were down in the States, a couple of us. Noodles, were you down in the States at all this weekend, or were you up here the whole time?
I was here, actually.
Okay. Well, always in Georgia. I was in Pittsburgh, and it's all about the Mattis down in the States, and everything's about the 1-16 upset. I mean, how did you respond to it when you're watching a 16 seed knock out a 1 seed?
You know, number one, the most important thing other than the madness is St. Patrick's Day. So, unfortunately for me, I wasn't able to celebrate it because I'm working in the studio. So I'm in Orlando right now, so I plan on celebrating it this evening here as I prepare for the Raptor game tomorrow. But I would say that when you look at a 1-16, I mean, two games really jump out at me. UMBC just dismantling Virginia. It wasn't like a 1-point thriller, buzzer beater shot. I mean, they just destroyed Virginia in the second half. So, number one, that one to me. And then the other one was like Buffalo. They destroyed Arizona. I mean, so those two games to me, like, just absolutely blew me away in terms of the conviction, the dominance that the lower seed had over, you know, I mean, Virginia, it was the best team in college basketball the whole year, thoroughly. And then, you know, Arizona arguably has three guys that'll be playing in the NBA in another year or two. So it was convincing.
Well, I saw something on Twitter last night that I made sure to document because I wanted to read it to you because everyone's buzzing about the amount of upsets and how crazy the first weekend was. In the history of the tournament, there has never been a region that has featured none of the top four seeds into the Sweet 16 until now. The South region down in Atlanta will feature a 5 seed, an 11 seed, a 7 seed, and a 9 seed. Like, is it crazier this year than years past, or is that recency bias with all these, you know, crazy stories already?
No, it's been remarkable. I mean, when you look at that region where it's Kentucky and Kansas State and Nevada and Loyola Chicago, and the fact that there's no top four seed, it's pretty amazing to me. The craziness of the whole tournament. But that's been the volatility of college basketball the entire year when you look at it. And to me, the teams that jump out at me right now that I look at and I say the eye test that are the legitimate, if they play to the potential, Duke right now as well as Villanova, those two teams have really jumped out at me the most. And then probably Kansas. But Kansas isn't like that talented this year. They've had a great year, but I would say Duke by far is the most talented, and Villanova is just so sound. But those would be the two. But I mean, beyond that, Kentucky has great young talent, but their young players they could stub a toe in any moment.
With Jack Armstrong again, he's down in Orlando. Raptors taking on the Magic tomorrow night, and they're coming off a pretty wild afternoon yesterday at the ACC. They end up losing the game, but the bigger story became the ejections and the commentary postgame, where DeMar DeRozan went off again about the refs. Dwayne Casey, he had an interesting comment where out of one side of his mouth he was saying, we can't let the emotions get carried away. We can't allow ourselves to get thrown off kilter because of the refs. But then out of the other side of his mouth, he's like, all we want is fairness and consistency.
They got Cleveland coming up, too. I mean, yeah. With LeBron, your cries for help are not going to be answered. No way, no how.
What do you make of this, Jack?
Well, I mean, first of all, Brian, you and I've used it with you before. You used the magical word, but, it's like when a girl's going to dump you. You're a nice guy, but you're getting dumped. Right. And it's the same thing. It's not what's said before the but, it's what's said after the but. And, he's saying all the right things, but what's said after the but is, I want better accuracy and better consistency. And I think he's pretty ticked off. And I'm sure you're trying to send, you fire the shot over the bow and let people know that you feel like you're not getting respected the way you should. And I understand that. I think he has a legitimate point. Do I think there's a conspiracy against Toronto? No, I don't think there is at all. I think that's utter nonsense. What I do think there is truly a lack of familiarity with just how good this team is, just how good this team has been the last 5 years. And I think when you have three guys come in and referee a game, the only time they see you basically is when they ref your game. And, I think they see a lot of the other teams a lot more. And when there's a bang-bang play and when there's action-reaction, advantage-disadvantage, reputation versus who is this dude? I never heard of him. It's going to kind of go that way. Do I think they're out-and-out screwing them? No, not at all. I think these guys come in to the arena and they try to do the best job they can. And, I just think it's a matter of for the Toronto Raptors that they have to continue to prove themselves and continue to be successful. And then little by little, you'll earn your stripes. But by no means are you there yet.
Well, and there's a couple of different things on this that we've been pointing out throughout the afternoon. This is a market that feeds into the conspiracy theories because it's the only Canadian market. And I don't know if that's necessarily what Dwayne Casey is concerned about. In fact, I would guess he's not. He's concerned about interactions with his players and the refs and his own interactions with the refs. But this conspiracy theory is going to catch fire up here because there's a lot of inferiority complexes taking part where it's always been a belief that the American TV networks and the commissioner, why would they want the only Canadian team to have any success? So people are going to buy into it here. But what I would say and what I said earlier, Jack, is I kind of like the fire coming out of this team because they could be in a position of complacency right now. This first seed, it's over. They're five up now on Boston. They are home free. They could have taken that loss yesterday, taken that non-call on DeMar and just said, forget it. Who cares? OKC, they're a good team. We're moving on. And they didn't. And there's a part of me that likes the fact that they're sparking some sort of animosity, some sort of intensity, because they're in a position where they really could just take their foot off the gas and coast to that top seed anyway.
No, I mean, these guys are angry and pissed off. I'm not going to kid you. They really believe that they're very good, and it's their time. And I think it's great. You must have heard my interview on NBA radio this morning because, you know, and obviously those two hosts are from the United States, and they made the point like, hey, and I agree with them 100%. You know, you go to Salt Lake City, you go to Portland, you go to Milwaukee, you go to a lot of smaller U.S. markets, and they all feel the same way Toronto does.
Right.
And even though Toronto is the only Canadian team in the league, if you're in those markets, they have the same feeling about the whole thing that we do. And, you know, so I think you have to balance that a little bit. I really think it's a lack of familiarity, and I do think the Nielsen ratings play a part in it. You look at the Turner people and the Disney people, obviously ESPN, ABC. You know, they gave nine years, $24 billion U.S. to the NBA, and they, you know, in terms of the Nielsen ratings, they want big ratings, and they want the markets that are playing in the games to have the most reach and the better impact, best impact. And even though Toronto is the third largest market in professional sports in North America, and basically is the New York or LA of Canada, there still is this, you know, mindset that, you know, if we put them on, we'd lose a market. We're better off putting Phoenix on, or we're better off putting Dallas on, even though both of those teams suck. And to me, I think that's the challenge of it all, where you have on one side the owners and the players taking all this money from these networks. The networks are going to dictate terms. But on the other hand, the officials, they live in the U.S., so they're blown away on a daily basis with the narrative that it's the Cavs, the Warriors, the Rockets, the Celtics, and, you know, no one else exists. And, you know, you'll have teams like the Knicks and the Lakers playing, and they couldn't plan a one-car parade the last 5 years.
Right.
So you just got to keep fighting through that. And I do think this group's mindset is such that they're willing to do it. And I'll give you one example. Last Friday night when they played the Rockets, Chris Paul tried punking Fred VanVleet. You know what Fred VanVleet did? He got up into Chris Paul in the backcourt and got in his grill and didn't back down from one inch. Not an inch. And to me, I think that defines this team. And I think they just got to keep doing that. And I think if they do that, they'll prove themselves.
Jack, that's never going to change. They could win the NBA title this year. Next year, nobody down there would want to put them on TV again. It's just something they got to deal with and move on and play good basketball.
Well, you can throw it in everyone's face, right? If you're in the NBA finals,
yeah,
man, you're going to be on ABC at least four times.
But Brian, they could win, and next year they'll still say, we don't want this game on.
That's fine.
Market doesn't mean anything to us.
But that's okay. That happens. That happens in San Antonio, too. Utah went to the NBA finals 2 years in a row. And they had Karl Malone and John Stockton, two of the all-time greats. You know, San Antonio's had Duncan and, you know, Parker and Ginobili and obviously David Robinson and so many others. And yet, you know, it's the same narrative there. But nonetheless, you got to keep after it. And I think this group, as much as I understand where they're coming from, now you've made your point. Now the point I'm making is the point they really have to make, and that is you got to go into games – and you can't give those three guys an opportunity to hurt you. You've got to hurt the guy you're playing across from so much that it's so overwhelming, so convincing. And even that might be just a one-point win, you find a way to do it.
Enjoy it down there. Happy belated St. Patrick's Day, Jack. And we'll catch up again down the road. Thanks, buddy.
All right. I'm about 30 seconds away from having my first pint, so I'll have it in your honor, guys.
All right. So nice. A minute away from your second pint. Enjoy both. All right, Jack?
All right, guys.
There he is, Jack Armstrong. A belated St. Patty's Day celebration in Orlando.
On a Monday night.
He loves the road.
And he's a big part of the March Madness coverage, which, of course, continues on TSN. And it's been a great weekend so far. It's been a great first couple of rounds. We're off to the Sweet 16, and we'll start teeing that up later in the week. But the Leafs, they're on fire. We'll get back into their status, what's going on with their injuries.
12 in a row at home?
12 in a row. That's a franchise record. 12 in a row at home. And they've been dealing with injury problems. Like, Freddie Anderson's missed some games. Matthew's been out a lot. You know, yeah. Zaitsev's been out. Now Komarov's been out. These are not inconsequential pieces, and they just continue to roll and continue to win. So we'll touch on where the Leafs are at, maybe get back into the Stroman comments. Tiger on a charge but couldn't complete it yesterday, 2 weeks out of the Masters. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. And on Friday, come with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on the Jets. That's a big game. This is a big giveaway on March 31st down at the ACC. The theme this week, former Leafs who played for the original Winnipeg Jets. And today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is friend of the show, Eddie O, Eddie Olchuk.
Nice.
The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZephyrEpic.com. That's another thing that's right around the corner is the ponies are going to be going. We got to get Eddie O back on.
Unfortunately, Q's at a different time. Q's going to be able to make it because his team's not going to make the playoffs.
I don't know if we can interview Joel Quenneville, though, about goofing around at the tracks. Like, it's been such a disaster of a season in Chicago.
Yeah. And, you know, there's been some lot of articles out
there. We'll sniff around. We'll see if Q wants to come on.
The thing is there hasn't been a coach let go this year. Dude. And now they're talking about, I think it was Dreger that reported it, or Pierre or LeBron, saying that the league may almost be like, what is it, Black Monday or something like that in the NFL.
Right, the first Monday after the year, they're
like
axes.
There's going to be a bunch of axes or whatever. So it'll be interesting to see like who is the first to go and if that starts a chain of... Like, if Joel Quenneville's available,
someone else may go because of Joel Quenneville.
Somebody will fire their coach to get Joel Quenneville.
You should. Like, let's be honest. As ruthless as that sounds, if Quinville's available, like you get one crack at
him. There's 10 other coaches that have to be on thin ice at that point.
Right. And the thing is, like, I haven't looked at Chicago's status in a while because they've been so far out of it. I haven't been paying attention. They're 14 back of anyone else in their division. Yeah, let alone a playoff spot. They're 14 back of the Blues, who are second last in their division. Like, they're gone.
Yeah, well, O says this all the time, and I say it too. Like, it's a goalie league, it's a quarterback league. Like, they've been rolling out, like, Anton Forsberg. Jeff Glass was a nice little story there for, like, five games.
But that's the amazing thing about what Curtis McElhinney's doing right now.
That's the value of a good backup goalie.
Absolutely. Like if Anderson was out, like Crawford's been out basically the whole season, very different story. McElhinney having to play 30 games in a row, probably a different product.
It is going to be a different product. That's just the truth.
But he was just named the third star in the league this week.
We had a great week.
McElhinney
is a star. He's up there with McKinnon. In McKinnon, that kid is
McKinnon's
got to
win. He's got to be the favorite for the heart right now.
I would say
he's my pick. I think he's my pick.
You would go with McKinnon?
Yep.
I think he's 4 points back of the scoring race.
He's
played
right there.
Eight, I think, less games than Kucherov and everyone. Malkin.
Let me find it right here.
Because
he's four off. Kucherov's still in the lead with 93 points, and McKinnon's tied with Malkin and McDavid at 89.
But he's played eight less games, I think, than those guys.
He's played six less than Kucherov.
Okay.
Eight less than McDavid.
Yeah, because Kucherov missed a couple games with the upper body injury. So, I mean...
But that's interesting with McDavid. Like, we had these conversations last week a couple of times, Noodles, where there's a push out there for McDavid to be included in the Hart conversation, which I'm fine with him being included.
Conversation.
Have him in the conversation. But Nathan McKinnon is tied with him in points, and he's played eight less games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a slight on McDavid. That's just saying that he doesn't get to own the award for the next 15 years.
It's been a league thing for 100 years. If your team has a dump season, you're not winning the
MVP.
You're
not going to win it. Exactly. Yeah. Unless you lap the field, which McDavid is not doing.
You want to put up 135 points, there you go. Take your MVP, but he's not doing it.
What I'd like to see McDavid do is just win the scoring race for him personally. It's been a terrible season out there for them, but I'd like to see him win the scoring race personally so that he could... You know, maybe try and put a little string together. You won it last year, win it this year. I don't think it'll happen, but maybe it will.
Well, he might win the Ted Lindsay, which the players vote on who is the best player in the league.
It's not happening.
But probably not. But
McKinnon has to be there. Like Kucherov, Just because he's on a good team, you can't discount his work. Like, he's done a great, he's had a great year.
He gets discounted all the time. Like, he's been so consistent since day one, he's led the league in points, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he shared it a couple of days, maybe a point back here or there.
Right.
But for the most part, since puck drop back in October, Kucherov has been money.
Yeah.
He's been money.
And it's like, when you do that, I agree. You start overlooking it, and you just start looking for other people.
We do that all the time, though. We're always looking for something else instead of what's right in front of our eyes.
Yeah. Like, right.
We do that with the coaching all the time. You had great coaches that have great seasons, but wow, you expect that out of them, but it's the new guy on the block.
Yep.
You know, it's the guy who took the... Now, Gallant to me is...
Gerard Gallant in Vegas.
But how about Jared Bednar in Colorado?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that team was a tire fire last year. I wasn't convinced that Colorado was going to come out of this and make the playoffs. It looks like they're going to be now. So, but Bednar has to get some love. There other coaches obviously deserve.
Yeah. Coming from a team, Jamie, where I thought last year was one of those things, I thought it was a Ron Rolston situation where I'm like, you don't fit behind that bench in this league. But they stuck with him, and he's rebounded, and they pulled it together.
But Dave Haxtell is a prime example where we were on, you know, like...
In Philly, they were Hexie's chanting, like, fire
this
guy.
Let's get this guy out of here. And Hexie goes down and says, I'm not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
We're not as far off as people think. And do you imagine the type of stress? Like, Philadelphia is a passionate market that Ron Hextall walks down in the dressing room and does it. I mean, good on him. He doesn't hide and cower in the corner, walks right down in the dressing room, says, I'm not firing the coach. And I don't believe we're that far off. If you take a look at these 10 losses, we've still picked up points. We've still done this and that. Like, sometimes I have to tip my cap to a general manager who has the stones to... You know, make the non-move instead of just the popular, oh, get rid of this guy. Or maybe he's got the owner breathing down his neck saying, we got to do something. It's you or him. And he holds pat. It's been some great storylines.
Yeah, there have been. And there's also, I mean, there's been consistent teams. Like, Tampa's been consistent all year. Toronto's been consistent all year. Like, for the most part, there were a couple of stretches early on where when they went through California, it got a little bit ugly. But, you know, the Leafs are at 93 points. They've got 10 games to go, and that's 20 points available. You got to think they're going to get another 12 or 13. They're probably going to set a franchise record here if they keep their foot on the gas, if they don't start selectively playing guys and sitting different guys. But even like when you look at it recently, Anderson's missed a couple of games, and they won both of them. Matthew's been out for quite some time. Like, we're coming up on a month now, I believe, over 3 weeks. And
what
they
is the situation? Do you not think that if you're management, it affects anything going into this summer, where it's like, you just sit down and you don't worry about it?
Because terms of his contract,
if this guy was still playing and ripping at home, 40, 45, who knows what?
You know what? At the very least, it certainly doesn't help his case, Matthew's case.
No.
Now I still think he's going to look at it and say, you do realize even when I missed all those games, I was still leading the team in points for like a long time.
Yeah.
I'm still the centerpiece of the team. That hasn't changed because of some injuries.
His situation personally doesn't change his value. They know his value. He knows his value. And they'll figure it out. Like, I don't think an injury is going to be like, nah, you know what? We're not going to pay you 13. It's going to be 10. Like, I think he knows. I think it's going to be 12 and a half, 13, whatever it's going to be. It's going to be a big number.
I don't know if he'll hit McDavid, though. Like, I thought he could, and it still could happen. He's going to argue, I am to this team what McDavid is to Edmonton.
Okay, that's exactly what I would say if I was his agent.
Let's just say it's... If he looks and says, Jack Eichel's 10 and a half, I want more than that.
Well, it's going to be more than that.
Okay, so then let's say 11.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. My point being is I don't believe it's an injury.
It's not going to drop him to 7.
No.
But every dollar counts. Where if it was going to be, hey, a 50-goal season, you know, up for the heart, now you got to pay me more than McDavid.
Tell you what, opposing GMs, I'm not sure they must hate that Eichel contract. They must want to call Botterill and say...
Oh, you just jammed everybody up.
But 10
Eichel, and a half I think for Eichel's, 2 years.
If you look at Eichel's points per game, like, he's a hell of a player. That's just the going rate.
Well, but here's the thing, though. There have been other guys who didn't get 10 and a half who have put up big, big numbers as well in the past. Like Stamkos got 8 and a half. How does Eichel get 10 and a half? Stamkos gets 8 and a half. when you look at Stamkos and the amount of numbers he's put up over his career.
Right, yeah.
And I understand that was maybe Florida and their cap situation. But
not to mention it's too...
like Johnny Gaudreau's a great player. Gaudreau got 6-7-5 yeah, or whatever it was.
Good...
you know what I'm saying?
There are some... You're right. There are some...
Like, I'm not saying Eichel should have got paid, but 10-5 is a big number.
It's a big number, and the owner made that commitment to him. How do you... You have to wonder, though, and this is, again... Market specific,
mm-hmm.
It's Buffalo.
Yeah,
like it's not, it's this is the face of your franchise. He's your top pick, the guy you're going to build around, and he's got the stats. He's been injured. Unfortunately, he's had two of the same injuries, that high ankle sprain.
Yep.
So missed a bunch of time in his first 2 years, but if he decides, all right, you want to play hardball with me, I'm out. That I'm out, but
That's the thing, where sometimes you got to play the CBA to your advantage, right? Like, because Matthews could technically do the same thing. If the Leafs play hardball with him, he could. But what is he going to do? Show up at camp? At some point, they got to sign and play. Like, the CBA is tailored to giving the teams leverage it's supposed to early in their careers.
Correct.
That would be a spicy meatball.
Market specific. Scenarios.
Right, and Buffalo is very different.
Buffalo's
than other
a lot
teams
different
in the
than. And Matthews, tomorrow will be his 9th game. His last game was February 22nd.
Right, and he's already been ruled out. He's not playing tomorrow.
Yeah, 9th game tomorrow.
And, I'm not in a rush to get him back, but considering what Matthews said over the weekend about how he's not convinced he'll ever be back to 100% this year, which kind of led me to believe maybe the door's open for surgery once the season ends.
I was just going to say, that quote absolutely says. Like surgery.
That's kind of what I read out of it, too. Like, I'll put it off because I don't need it right now. I can play without it.
Right.
But I'm going to need to get tuned up here
get a little bit repaired. Or something.
But, that's the difference. Like, I'm not worried about Anderson, even though we don't really know what's going on. I get the impression, when he gets back, he'll be fine. He's recovered from injuries in the past. I think he'll be okay. Zaitsev, who hasn't had a great year to begin with, I think once he starts feeling 100%, puts the weight back on, he'll probably be able to get back to the form that he was playing at the very least before he got injured or before he got sick. But if Matthews is going to alter his game at all because of this shoulder injury, that is a red flag. Like, that is potentially concerning. Sure. Because you're talking about, this is a guy who can get a shot off like almost nobody in the league.
But yeah,
and if that's affected by 10%, that's a big difference. Yeah.
I think anybody close to me or my family would agree that after two surgeries on my one shoulder, puck's not coming off the stick the same. It's not.
Mm.
No heat on it.
Well, and
younger
you were a
guys
shooter,
though too, like younger
right?
guys heal quicker and all that type.
I know,
of stuff.
But I will say this: once you have that surgery on your shoulder, all it takes is one good hit and gone.
Well, yeah, they're putting screws in. Now, who knows what it is or where it's going? I don't know. But
because let's not even speculate.
No, you can't. But
because it's just not. Because it can come out and he had, it could be a rib issue. Who knows? Back issue. There's so many different things that go on. All you want is him to be like, I feel 100% and I can't wait to get going.
Right.
That's what you want to hear. You don't want to, I'm going to fight through this. It kind of puts that little layer of all right.
There's an element of doubt.
A little bit.
Like that maybe he's just going to be affected. And in the playoffs, it's a long grind.
Exactly.
Because again, this is not a team that this year just feels like they're lucky to get in.
No.
It's not going to be easy whoever they play. It's Boston or Tampa, two really, really good teams who have been very good all year. And it's going to be stiff competition. But this time last year, we weren't even sure they were going to get in.
Yeah,
and once they did, there was a downfall because they had the potential to play Ottawa, which would have been really cool, but you were still kind of had this sense, they're lucky to be in. It was a magical season. Take a run at Goliath in Washington and see what happens. That's not the case this year.
No.
So, you're looking at Matthews, if he's at 95%,
right,
that could affect the ability for them to go on a long run.
Well, and when you're looking at series that you believe will be more of a coin flip than just, like you say, David and Goliath, you're going to need, it's going to be who's playing well, what goalie plays well, it's,
and
know,
the big boys
the
are going to carry you. I mean, I know we glorify the fourth line grinder types. Let's be honest. For them to go deep, they need 34 to be a beast.
Yeah.
Beast. And through, early into his career, he has been a big game player. Like in the biggest moments, he generally steps up.
Yeah.
And if they believe they have that, they can beat anybody in a seven-game series. But if they don't, you know, this most recent run has been fun. But you're playing teams like Montreal. Montreal team's awful, and they're just waiting to get to the summer.
Yeah.
Like, that on Saturday night was just like, can we stop playing now? Like, why are we still doing this? Why are we forced to still play? Like, they're basically in tank mode. They're just looking to get to the end of the year and get the hell out of town.
They're in Leaf tank mode.
Yeah.
You're injured, shut it down, you're done.
And the Leafs
say this, the Carey Price is a weird case.
The fact that he's coming back and he's going to be backing
up. No, just his whole year. It's just been a weird...
No, it's been a bad year for him.
Yeah.
Like injury, it's just been weird, inconsistently, like, and inconsistency, and like, just been one of those years.
I don't know. It's just been weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they want to compete...
My hot take of the day. It's been a weird year for Carey Price. It's like, are you injured, or are you mentally not ready to play, or are you uncomfortable, or you're not Carey Price anymore, or it's just a weird... It's just... I don't know how else to describe
it. Well, considering what he was in previous years and his capabilities and his ability to drag a team to over 100 points like he's done in the past.
Yeah.
And the rare feat as a goaltender to win the Hart and the Vezina. I mean, this guy was unanimously accepted as the best goalie in the league.
Still is.
And still, probably from a talent standpoint, is.
Just having a bad year.
But is having an awful year. But they got to pray in Montreal, if they want to compete next year, that he gets back to being a top five goalie in the league. Like, he has to.
Like, statistically, like...
Yes, statistically, of course.
Right.
He's got to go out there and prove it. Like, right. this year, he hasn't been a top five goalie in the league. Like, he hasn't been anywhere close to it, because he hasn't played enough.
Kopitar scored 11 goals last year. Getzlaff had 11 one year. Like, top players have bad years.
Yeah,
it happens. Now they got to come back from them. That's the problem, is it's recency bias, and it happens to every player, where you're like, well, this guy's had a terrible year. I don't know if it's going to come back on the rails for him. Like, he has to get it back on the rails.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, he deserves the benefit of the doubt. He's been a long-time pro, and he's a great, great talent. But I'm just saying, I don't like the way the rest of the team is built. Now, we can dispute whether or not they have enough to be good. I still think the plan there is basically St. Carey Price has to drag us to the promised land.
Well, they need more talent.
They need a lot more talent. And that's just, you know, that's an added pressure that falls exclusively on a goaltender because of the nature of the position.
Right.
You know, like Kopitar, you're right. That's an example of a guy who had a down year, and he's bounced back greatly, but he's only playing 18 minutes a night.
18, yeah.
You know what I mean? And he can rely on Doughty to carry sometimes, and other guys to, and he needs line mates. With a goaltender, if it's all about Price, you know, that's just an added element of pressure. Now, he's handled it very well in the past, but they need a lot more talent.
Well, and they need the players there. Like, Weber was hurt. Pacioretty had a bad year. Like, Durand didn't settle in as a centerman. He's got to be a winger. Like, they need a lot to turn things around. But that's, you look throughout the league. I mean, you know, I continue to, like, just study teams. It's been a fascinating year, from just studying teams.
Vegas,
you know, Vegas.
Everything.
Like, we keep waiting for Vegas.
How about Columbus? If I was an owner and some GM left a guy unprotected, and I know you can never predict anything, and there was a tweet about it today. You leave a guy unprotected that goes and scores 40 goals for a team.
Yeah.
William Karlsson.
And I know you can never predict that stuff, but I would look at somebody and say, somebody in the organization's got to sniff out something. Like, you know what I mean? It's not happening on my watch.
How about Florida? Like, Marchessault and Riley Smith.
Well, you know what happened, and it's not going to happen for Seattle? His team started making these side deals to not touch guys in that, and the guys on the side deals, Vegas chose wisely. Mm-hmm. Like, they chose Alex Tuch, who's a good young player.
And
Eric Halla was the guy.
Both fantastic
not touch
years.
Matthew Dumba or Nate Prosser, you know, like, so they're like, okay, we won't touch that guy, but give us this guy. So they did a really good job of finding gems, like diamonds in the rough, or maybe, like, for example, William Karlsson, like, was he going to play ahead of the Bread Man this year, or Saad? Like, probably not, like what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't play.
Well, those guys are both wingers, and this guy's a centerman.
But I also saw that he didn't play 2 minutes on the power play last year.
Right, and he didn't put up great numbers. Like,
no,
let's be honest, he is a microcosm of that team in general.
Right, but because
he's not going to be a 40-goal scorer.
But that's what I'm saying. He could come back and score 18 next year, and you're like, okay, that's the real player. You still have to figure out what the real player is.
We're all big eBay fans, right? We keep talking about
huge,
that.
I just bought something on eBay yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you buy underpants on eBay?
No.
As long as they're not used.
I'll buy anything on eBay.
Well, don't shop like everyone else. Shop ebay.ca, a place where you find exactly what you want, when you want it, items you can't find in store, and items that are unique to you. Bet you didn't know that over 80% of what eBay sells is 100% new. And did you know that over 80% of the items on eBay are bought instantly without an auction? Well, now you knew. Now you know. With tons of new items, it's easy to find Canadian products that make you, you. eBay, fill your cart with color. To shop at ebay.ca. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Put a cap on what was a wild weekend in the sports world. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NBA board tonight, weird scene in Cleveland. Tyronn Lue taking a leave of absence, and they're just... There's too much controversy surrounding that team. I'll lay the points, Milwaukee and Cleveland tonight. I'll lay the points, the Lakers in Indiana. And I guess I'm laying the points in a tank-off. Chicago versus New York tonight is going to be one of the worst displays of basketball in the history of the NBA. Chicago's not even bringing half their team. New York's down half their team due to injuries. They both want to lose, so I guess I'll take the dog. Throw down 20 and you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So, Leafs in Tampa tomorrow night. The Raptors are in Orlando. Then they're in Cleveland later in the week. We've got March Madness going on. The golf scene's on fire. It's a pretty good time to be a sports fan.
Is it your favorite time or is it in the fall?
See, I'm such a big NFL fan. Without the NFL going,
see, I love that Masters weekend.
And you got the NHL playoffs coming. The fact that the Leafs and Raptors are in, and then you got the Jays in town. The Jay season begins in 10 days.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The Jays fire up. The Masters is going on. Playoffs are starting. We might fire up a poll tomorrow. What's your favorite sporting time of year?
Let's get after it. Good tease for tomorrow.
We'll be back at 4 tomorrow.
We'll chat then.